Well, good evening to everyone. You know, it seems like we just got started. And here we've come to the close of being together on six different days. And let me tell you, I've really appreciated the opportunity of being here with you. The elders asking me to come, I appreciate them doing so. I appreciate so much each one of you, and many of you have been here every night of this gospel meeting. And I know that you've worked hard to be here. I know that you've worked all day long and been in school all day long, but yet you saw that it was important to be here to talk about our God. Let me tell you, I appreciate you being here. Let's face it, if nobody's here, I can't speak to them. And you've been very good about being here. Some have been ill. We're sorry for that. And some would have liked to have been here that could not be here. I also want to thank those of you who took me out and fed me. I appreciate that very much. You allowed me to be a part of your life for an hour or so. And I got to know you even better. And I really appreciate the young folks who have been here, those in college and otherwise. You've been a blessing to me. I've enjoyed talking to you and cutting up with you. And I hope one day when this life is over, all of us can go home and be with God forever and forever. Because, you know, that's really what it's all about, is going home, getting to heaven. If I miss out on heaven, then I've missed it all, and you've missed it as well. And I don't want you to miss out on anything that is such a fantastic thing in reference to being with God forever and forever. You know, we anticipate a lot of things in life. I hate it, really hate it, when I get a bottle of ketchup. And they used to have a commercial about it. And they called it anticipation. And it seemed like you waited forever. Finally, I gave up. Even though I banged it on a little bit of everything, I finally just took a knife and reached up underneath there and got it to flow. There are a lot of things that we anticipate in our life. We anticipate, you know, you anticipate getting 16, and so you can get driver's license, and you go out on dates, and you anticipate getting out of high school and getting into college. You anticipate getting married, finding that young girl or that young man, and living with him for the rest of your life. You anticipate, there's just so much that we anticipate. But I'm afraid sometimes that there's one thing that we do not anticipate as much as we ought to, and that is the anticipation of going home. All this week we've been talking to you about God and who He is, and how that we want to go home and be with Him forever and forever. We've talked about how it's all about Him, and it really is. And once I understand in my life, and it took me a while to get there. It just didn't happen overnight. But once I realized that it was all about God, then I understood where I needed to place myself. And that meant a great deal to me to learn that. And once you learn that God is first in all things, then you can really and truly look forward to the time that you can be with Him in eternity forever and forever. I think one of the greatest choruses that have ever been assembled is going to be assembled in the presence of Almighty God. Now, I don't know all that's going on, but I believe that there's going to be a great chorus there where all the worthies of all ages are going to be together just praising God and glorifying God and giving Him that which He so rightfully deserves. But you and I need to understand one thing as we think about anticipating heaven. We need to understand that the majority of people that you and I come in contact with, that they are earthbound in every sense of the term. They view their life in every area of their life as far as being a worldling, and they're just not in the world, they are of the world. And you listen to them as they speak, and everything revolves around the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, that's how the world operates. But what's so sad sometimes, if we're not careful, you and I get hooked up there as well. And if we're not careful, we begin to think about the things in which they think about. Those people of the world are determined that they're going to look upon a person by the abundance of things which he possesses. I remember as a youngster that we used to talk about those who had better clothing, those who drove better cars, those who lived in better houses, as if that made them somebody. Yet Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 12 and there verse 15 that a man is not to be considered by the things in which he or she possesses. In stark contrast, in fact, there's a couple of passages I'd like for us to read together. And one is found over in John chapter 15 and there verse 19. John 15 and there verse 19. It's important that you turn there and look at that because it says something to me. It says something to you. He said, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. When you try to live a good life before other people, one of the things that they try to do is to bring you down. Having spent 4.5 years in the military, one of the things that I found constantly is those other young men my age, whenever they'd say, where are you going? And I'd say, well, I'm going to go to worship. And then they would try to make fun of you and all that. Hey, go and have a drink with us. And I said, I don't do that. They try to make fun of me. But finally, believe it or not, even in the military, if you'll stand strong in the faith, that they will stand behind you. I found that at least in 1962 when I was in the military. Once I showed them that I wasn't going to live as they lived, they began to respect what I was trying to be, and that was a child of God. In John chapter 17, and there verse 14, I'd like for us to read that together. And the context is the prayer of Jesus, where Jesus is offering a prayer to the Father. He's finished the work, and now he has something that he would like to speak to the Father about. And again, John 17, and there verse 14. He said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You and I have been set apart by the very word of God. And again, as I stated, the world hates light. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 18, points that out. The world hates to see their sins put before them. And so here, Jesus is saying, I'm praying for those that you gave me. They are not of the world. Yes, they are having to live in it, but they're not of it. And I ask you to protect them. I ask you to watch over them. Let me tell you, every day that you live, when you're living in Christ, God's watching over you in answer to the prayer of Jesus himself. Christians, we look beyond, do we not? We look beyond the temporal realm, and we look to eternity. We see beyond the present day. We see beyond the present minute. We know out there one day God is going to welcome us home, and that's what we're looking for, and we do not want to miss that. And that's why Matthew chapter 6 and there verse 19, if you'll turn there, Matthew 6 and there verse 19 is so important to us as our Lord, as he charged his disciples, and the charge is also yours and mine, where he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through and steal, for where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. Notice the text. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It is interesting when someone understands he's about to lose everything, that he or she will go and pick out something in particular that they hold as true value. And somebody might say, if there was a fire coming or a tornado coming, the one thing that I would want to make sure that I got is I want to make sure I got the baby pictures. You ever heard that? But wouldn't it be great if when that situation came up, that you would say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my Bible first because I really like that Bible. I can find everything in it, and I really would be out of place if I didn't have my Bible. Wouldn't it be interesting if that was the first thought that we had when it came? Now, I understand not wanting to lose a child or a husband or a wife, but wouldn't it be great if that were your first thought? I don't want to lose my Bible. I don't want to lose the Word of God. Where's your Bible when you go home? Now, believe it or not, there's some folks, if they were trying to go back in, they couldn't locate it. They can't remember where they left it 3 or 4 days earlier. But wouldn't it be great that your Bible is in such a prominent position that if something were going to happen, because your treasure is within the Word of God, and you like the Bible that you've been studying, do you want to make sure that you get that before you get anything else? I bet you never thought about that. Most folks don't. But Jesus pointed out again that where our treasure is, that's where our heart is also. When our treasure is in heaven, you know, I look at these precious young children and those who are growing towards adulthood as well. They have a soul. And the thing that you need to make sure that you're doing is to take that which God has given you and put within them the treasure of heaven itself. That you start very early in life talking to that child about going home, going to be with God forever and forever. Sometimes, you'd have to admit, as a child of God, we get sidetracked. We allow other things to, for whatever reason, to take precedence. And for whatever reason, we talk a good game about heaven, but yet other things become more interesting. Jesus spoke about the seed among the thorns. I don't want to be the thorn. I want to be that pure seed, that good and honest heart, that when the Word of God is presented, I'm going to accept every bit of it, regardless of what it might do to me. If it causes me to cry, so be it. If it causes me to rejoice, so be it. And we need to keep in mind that Satan, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking to get David and seeking to get every one of you. And again, when we have shelved heaven, when we put it up on the top shelf, then it's very easy for Satan to get us. We ought not to ever forget. You know, it's not just enough for us to sing occasionally a song about heaven. When was the last time that you sat down at your home and talked about heaven itself? A good friend of mine had several children, and one of the things that she impressed upon her children was the importance of worship. And she said, "This, your mom and I, or your dad and I, we have already decided that our ultimate end is going to be in heaven." And she said, "Young'uns, we have thoroughly enjoyed having you. You've been a blessing to us. But if you want to be where your mom and dad are going to be in eternity, then you're going to have to start working towards heaven to be where we're going to go. We'd like to have you there. And we hope that you make that particular choice." It's interesting, in Hebrews 6 and verse 18, it says that Christians have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. An anchor. I need anchored. I remember riding some of those ships. I do not like riding on ships. Some of you may have been in the Navy, or some of you may think about going into the Navy. But I can remember the big storm that almost wiped out Seward, Alaska. I was out in the middle of the ocean when that was going on. And that ship went up, and I got seasick. Up and down, up, getting there. That's the sickest I've ever been. And every time that thing came up, and it came out of the water, and it goes splash back into it, just up and down, up and down. And I thought, I sure wished we were anchored somewhere. I got scared. But in Christ Jesus, I don't have to get scared, because I have been anchored. And my anchor is sure and steadfast, and my anchor is in Christ. I'm looking forward to the time where I can be in harbor, and that is be in heaven forever and forever. As we continue to look at this thought, the anticipation of heaven itself, what a glorious thought. Just to think about, just to think about heaven, just imagine the ecstasy that shall pervade the hearts of the righteous. When we get to behold God in all of His splendor, in all of His glory, You know, sometimes I listen to people as they talk about going from one place to the other, and they talk about how they want to see this Hollywood star and this football or basketball star, and you would think that they had almost died and gone to heaven when they got to see them. There's something far greater than that. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 4 and there, verse 8, and let's get a little inkling of what it's going to be like and see if we can't keep these thoughts in our mind. Again, Revelation 4 and there, verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, full of eyes, round and within, and they do not rest day or night. Now listen to what they're saying. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Jump down to verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Can you just hear the message of those creatures that are in heaven already? And as they give God honor and glory and tell him exactly what he already knows, what he's done. But yet, here, these creatures, they're telling him what he has done and how honored they are to be able to be a part of that gathering. You know, upon deep reflection, that should send chills up and down our spine. There are a lot of things that do that. But wouldn't it be great that when you heard the word heaven, all of a sudden you just felt that chill going up and down your spine, not out of fear, but out of anticipation of getting to be there, getting to see the very face of God, the one who spoke, and it was done. Creating all things, as it says in Psalms 33 and there verse 6, creating all things by the breath of his mouth. This overwhelms me. To think one day I'm going to be in the presence of the very one that could point his finger, that could open his mouth, and he could say, let there be light, let there be man, let there be creation, let there be, and immediately it was accomplished. There's no better thought. There's no better thought. Just no better thought than that at all. But another thing is, when we think about anticipating heaven, can you imagine the beauty that our eyes are going to behold? One of the songs that I love to sing is How Beautiful Heaven Must Be, and one of the stanzas says, pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing, how beautiful heaven must be. In heaven, we're going to find a safety. We're going to find a place of safety, a place of security, and a place of abundance. Absolute splendor. And I don't know about you, I've seen a lot of pretty things in my lifetime. I've been very fortunate to travel in many different places. But when I sing and this song about how beautiful heaven must be, if the earth is as pretty as it is, when you get away from all the things that man has made, I love to walk in the woods. I like to see the running of the little rabbit and the climbing of the squirrel into the trees, the hooting of the owl, the deer as it runs from maybe one of you deer hunters. But just to see God's creation in its splendor. And if the earth is this beautiful, truly it's not just enough to sing how beautiful heaven must be, but we must anticipate and look forward to that very time. As we anticipate heaven, think about being with all the faithful of all ages. In Matthew 22 and 32, this is what it is said in reference to God. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. These men have not died. Physically, yes. But they still exist. Think about it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Think about David and Moses and Rebekah and Sarah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel. Think about all of those worthies that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Those men and women that were faithful to God. Those men and women that lived before us. Think about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Peter, and Paul, and Mary, and Elizabeth, and Joseph. Think about all those men and women that we study about time and time again. But I also want you to think about somebody else. I want you to think about all the Christians whose names have been obscured in antiquity. Men and women that you and I have never known, have never seen, but yet maybe have heard to some degree. But I want you to think about right now those men and women in your own life. Men and women that you love, men and women that were faithful to the cause of Christ. My father died of bone cancer a number of years ago. Dad wasn't always what he needed to be. For several years before he passed away, Dad turned his life around, as well as Mother, too. I can remember going up the elevator when he was dying in the hospital. And I remember him, I could hear him singing before I got off the elevator. Rock of Ages. I stand amazed in many others. So I think about my father, my mother, and my grandmother, and others who have tried to live a good life before me. I'm not trying to place them into heaven. Let me get that out before you. That's God's right. But it just seems to make heaven a little brighter because they had hope in Christ Jesus. Some of you young ones that didn't know great-great-grandma or great-great-great-aunt. But you've heard about their faithfulness in Christ. Just think about one day being with all the faithful of all ages. What a great reunion that's going to be. Do you anticipate it? Do you ever think about it? When was the last time you thought about all the folks that you love dearly? Let me tell you, if the Lord tarries, some of us that are in this room tonight, we're going to be gone. Our days are short. We know that. Will you remember the faithfulness of the good brethren here at University Heights and what they meant to you while you worshiped here? When you sang these songs about heaven? When you prayed and asked God to forgive you of sin, when you asked God to remember that He has forgiven you of such and such a thing and you're thankful that He has? Can you remember when thanking God for sparing a young child or a young mother? What a great day it's going to be when all the faithful of all ages, it's not a fairy tale. It's reality. It's reality. Anticipation of heaven freed from all ungodliness. I like to listen to Fox News just because I like Fox News. And they normally say what I think that needs to be said. Sometimes they get a little ugly. And I think, you know better than that, boys and girls. And I even watch the Five in the evenings, and I call them my children. I say to the wife, I wonder what the children are going to have to say tonight. And sometimes I turn them off because I don't like what they're saying. But one of the things I find when I listen to the news, as I read the newspaper, as I listen to the radio, as I listen from all different walks of life and all different areas of life as far as nations and kingdoms, I hear murder and muggings and rape and assaults and robbery, beating of children, beating of spouse. We live in a time when people live in fear, afraid for their lives. Let me tell you, we are very blessed in this nation. We really are. As I told you, Brother Reuben Amador and I are going to go to Costa Rica next Thursday. And one of the places that we go, and the preacher's home in which we spend some time in, as you get to the front of their house, they open a gate, a steel gate, that is locked like much of the jails are in our country. And there's a little entrance way there where you could park a car, but they don't have a car. And over that little entrance area is also iron bars. And you go through their house and you go out to the backyard and they've got a block wall up. And on that block wall are bits of glass and concertina wire. Because they're afraid of someone breaking in and harming them and taking all that they have. Well, one of these days, all that's going to be gone. No more trials and temptations and discouragements and headaches and heartaches. It'll be behind us. There won't be any of that in heaven. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, when you're being persecuted, when you've got all kinds of sickness and disease, it doesn't seem like it's a moment, does it? It seems like it's going on forever and forever and forever. Every month I go to an active day center here in Lexington, off of Nicholasville Road. And it is a center where they have young and old alike, boys and girls, men and women who have all kinds of different frailties. Some have been that way all their life and in their 50s and 60s. There are others who are there that had really great lives, but as they came towards the end of their life, they ended up having strokes, heart attacks, and other diseases to come their way. And they seem now to just be sitting there to some degree, waiting for life to be over. I go in, I talk to them about God. They smile. And they rejoice. I don't know how much they understand about what I'm saying. But they're ready to leave this old world. And they wouldn't call it light affliction, but yet Paul does when in comparing. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We've got to look beyond the temporal. We've got to keep our minds and our hearts on the eternal. We've got to forget that this is what it's not all about. That it's all about God, and one day He's going to let us come home, and we can be with Him forever and forever. Anticipating heaven, joy, peace, and total contentment. Think again. If you're here on this earth, or if you're in the Hadean realm, you think about when the trump of the Lord shall sound. The voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And those of us who are faithful upon this earth, we too rise with them to be there in the air with the Lord forever and forever. Christians have total faith and confidence in what is stated in Acts 24:25, there shall be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. John 5:28-29, the hour cometh in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. There is most assuredly going to be a resurrection. I haven't died yet. And I may not before the Lord comes. But I anticipate the resurrection of the Lord in all of His glory. I want to read a couple of passages for you because it brings that home very clearly. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord Himself, again 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be with the Lord. And he says, therefore comfort one another with these words. He's calling on the brethren of Thessalonica while they're upon the earth to comfort one another with the glorious thought of heaven. And about one day, all of God's people being resurrected to be with Him forever and forever. There are a lot of other passages that we could turn to, but that's sufficient. But there's another passage I'd like for us to turn to, and that's found in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 25, I could talk about the judgment of the wicked. I don't want to do that. I want to talk about the judgment of the righteous and what God has to say in reference to them. But as you look at that judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25, one of the things that you see is that it is a time of service. He talks about when he was hungry, they fed him. When he needed drink, that they gave him drink. When he was a stranger, they took him in. And they said, when did we see you and do that? He said, when you did this to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. I like verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What a great scene. You and me together before God's judgment bar. And because we have strived to live the life that God would have us to live, we can hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. No wonder the Apostle Paul, with such enthusiasm, had no problem even looking towards his death, as he pointed out that he had fought a good fight, he had finished the course, and he had kept the faith. And he said there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness, not only that he would receive, but all those who loved his spirit. We said earlier this week, think about this for a moment, that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, left the riches of heaven to become poor, so that we who are poor in spirit could become rich. He came and walked down here upon the dusty floors of this old earth in order that one day we might walk where God is. He came down to this earth and he wore the crown of thorns on the cross of Calvary, so that one day I might wear the crown of righteousness. Truly, how beautiful heaven must be. It is of interest. It is of interest to me that as people have reflected upon these things that we've been talking about, that they've written all kinds of songs, as we sang a few moments ago. I want to share a couple more with you. When the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall arise, and the splendor immortal shall envelop the skies, when the angel of death shall no longer destroy, and the dead shall awaken in the morning of joy. Beautiful robes so white, beautiful land of light, beautiful home so bright, where there shall come no night. Beautiful crown I'll wear, shining and bright o'er there, yonder in mansions fair, gather us there. Ever thankful am I that my Savior and Lord promised unto the weary sweet rest. Nothing more could I ask than a mansion above, there to live with the saved and the blessed. Again, we can sing on that beautiful shore the melodious song of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. One more. Glory is waiting waiting up yonder, where we shall spend an endless day. There, with our Savior, we'll be forever, where no more sorrow can dismay. The message of God's divine will caused individuals to seek that message and to put it into song. And you and I have been singing some of these songs for 60 and 70 and 80 years. And as long as the world stands. And there are other writers today that are writing just as beautiful hymns. We truly need to understand how beautiful heaven must be. I want to, as we come to the close and we think about the attributes of God, as we think about, because God is a personal spirit, this is what we've been talking about all week. I will seek intimate fellowship with Him. Because God is all-powerful, He can help me in anything. Because God is ever-present, He is always with me. Because God knows everything, I will go to Him with all of my questions and all of my concerns. Because God is sovereign, I will joyfully submit to Him. Because God is holy, I will devote myself to Him in purity and worship and in service. Because God is absolute truth, I will believe what He says and I will live accordingly. Because God is righteous, I will live by His standards. Because God is just, He will treat me fairly. Because God is love, He is unconditionally committed to my well-being. Because God is merciful, He forgives me of my sins when I sincerely confess them. Because God is faithful, I will trust Him and always keep His promises. And last but not least, because God never changes, my future is secure, and my future is eternal. I get to go home. I get to be with my Father forever and forever. I'm reminded of what Jesus said to His apostles in John chapter 14 as He was preparing them for His departure. I want to read that to you. John 14, verse 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and as I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said, He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 23 and 13. But the greatest of all things is, as it says in Luke 10 and there verse 20, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice what? Because your name is written in heaven. I don't know about you, beloved, but I just got to go home. I've got to go home. I've got to be with my Father forever. If I miss that, I've missed it all. Truly, how beautiful, not must be, but is. And I'm going to do everything humanly possible to make sure that I get there. Is there someone in our assembly tonight that is not a Christian? That heaven is not your home? Well, this is the time and the opportunity that you can repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be buried with Him, and have your sins washed away. And you can go home. You can go home. If for whatever reason you have allowed heaven to be put on a shelf somewhere,
or you're sidetracked it somehow with all the busy things of life, won't you come back to the realization that it's all about God and getting to go home and be with Him forever and ever. Again, beloved, let's go home. Let's go home. Think of that while together we stand and as we sing.